This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Not in the textbook for starting a show, but...
Okay.
I just had a thought about 10 minutes ago. Another example of how long we've been sitting here. Like, mm-hmm. Our age. Which is bad. Why is that bad? Because, like, somehow we do well with young people, I'm told. Like, statistics are
yep.
to okay. our management's satisfaction, I believe.
Right.
But
you can be a little self-conscious about pointing out that we're as old as we are.
It's probably a bad idea. Like, you don't want to sound... I don't want to be Statler and Waldorf, right?
Like, right, I don't want to sound like I'm finished.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely...
I am definitely not finished.
I got a lot more to offer here, I think. Most of it's, like, fantasy draft related, but still, some of that's interesting.
I got a crisis right now, but you go ahead.
Is it about fantasy?
No.
Because then you should go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's not, no.
Okay. It's that I guess if a listener were under the age of like 25, you know, when we had Joe here, we're always talking about his being young like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach, I know, is young like that. Like, you wouldn't necessarily remember us ever talking about the Sabres in like a good way, in a way that wasn't just like what their problems are and how woebegone the arena vibe is, or everything is, you know, like when they were last really good, we were like obsessed with it, and it was the Bills who were that like an afterthought, and we would talk about the Sabres like every day, and just in every way too. I mean, that was how this was 2006-2007. It was an obsession. It was like, it was really, you and I did an interview the other day with Steve Bennett, and he talked about like talking about the Bills and the Sabres through the years, and that's really like when we started to roll, was when the Sabres did.
Yeah, I don't know. I meant to say this to him. I'd be flattered if anyone hearing us wants to go. I think I've retweeted it. Maybe I will again. It just got posted up, I think, a couple days ago. Because I was thinking about he you know, was asking us about when we started and like what we both were thinking as we started and like, you know, when it really seemed like it came together. And we both remembered a certain show that we've talked about, you know, many times in the past, where you took your current girlfriend, now wife, to Wisconsin for the wedding of your former girlfriend.
Yeah.
And that was a it sounds ridiculous now, but I felt like it was a big moment for us, that you sort of opened up. and that was important for us, I think. I also meant to point out that I feel like we probably learned a lot about how to do this when the Sabres weren't around for a year.
Okay.
I felt like that was like, and I don't think I got around to mentioning that the subject changed and we didn't. I feel like that was important for us. Like we had no hockey for. I mean, we were talking about the lockout. You went to New York City at one point to cover the meetings, thinking an end was near. Anyway, so you mentioned that and that just sprang to my head. So sorry, I didn't mean to just barf that out.
Are you doing like scratch off tickets or something? By the way,
I was afraid.
Is this the other thing?
Yeah, I was hoping you couldn't hear that.
Oh, okay.
But you can.
Never mind.
Yeah. No, I'll stop. I mean, unless you want to know what my my distraction as the show is starting is. I guess, now that you heard me. I got some new shoes. I got new sneakers.
You're polishing your shoes?
Well, hold on. We talked about this the other day, didn't we? I've had a bad habit of not wearing shoes. I'm home, right? I just walk around in socks. And I went to the doctor this week and talked about, like, I got this situation with my one foot that doesn't feel good all the time. And one suggestion was, like, well, you might need, you know, we'll set you up with a podiatrist and you might need some orthotics. And I'm like, it basically just sounds to me, like, I took from that, wear some shoes. Give your feet a break. Wear some shoes. So I got some new shoes. They just came. They're pristine and white. And right at 2:55, I was stirring some chili on the stove, and I knew I splashed some on the stove, and I hurriedly cleaned that up, ran up here, and turned everything on and got ready to start the show. Went and I crossed my legs, and my one shoe had chili splattered all over.
Yes.
These pristine, I mean, these shoes have not been out of the house yet. So I quickly threw the headset down and said, I'll be right back to Zach. I ran downstairs. It was like he was about to do the update, I think. Ran downstairs, grabbed a brush, a scrub brush, and poured some water and some soap on it, and I'm trying to save these shoes.
Is it working?
No.
It's funny that, like, I was trying to build off, like, launch a Sabres thing with how long it's been since we were, like, really sort of geeked for the Sabres. And, you know, but no, don't take that to mean, like, we're two old guys or anything. And then before we even start the conversation, like, you're trying to get a stain off of your new shoes, and I don't even know. Making food. This is really regrettable.
I am sorry.
Well, all right. So
it was preventable.
All right.
You asked.
I did. Well, I couldn't get past the noise.
I know. I'm putting everything.
I was hoping
down.
It wasn't like
I'm putting everything
a skin
down. Go ahead.
Rash or something.
It's just out of my sight. It's not. It doesn't exist right now. So you were saying
another win.
Yes, another win. We didn't get a from Rob on that goal, and
he's on to us.
Right? Maybe he is. Was that maybe like is that a contender for the greatest play you've ever seen in a hockey game? I mean, it's a lot of plays, it's a lot of time, and a lot of great things have happened. But that was. I mean, I can't remember being as blown away watching live a play happen as I was by that. Like, I yelled at top volume. I usually try to not do that because if I'm watching silently and my wife, like she was last night, is sitting next to me in the living room reading or something, and I suddenly just, you know, have a burst, it you know, she'll give me a look or even say, like, oh, my God, you scared the crap out of me. I could not contain it. I just had to bellow. I could not believe that play was so excellent. It's a contender for me for greatest play I've ever seen in a hockey game.
I guess I don't have one. For football, I always have that Jason Peters blocked punt touchdown.
Right?
I guess I need a greatest play I've ever seen in a hockey game. All right, for now, that's it.
Yeah, I'm open to being wrong on this. You know, I tweeted that last night. And somebody sent me like a Zuccarello goal where he makes one guy miss and scores in overtime last night. I'm like, dude, that happens every night in the league. Like, what are you sending me that? Like, that's a contender for this? It's not even close.
Well, it's another win. It's another win at the West. It's another 2 points closer to the playoffs. It's another bump in their playoff odds. And I think this came up yesterday just briefly with Joe Ostrowski and the Sabre price, the odds for winning the East or even winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's crazy. And it's, look, it's still crazy to think like in those kind of lofty terms. But I wonder what, if somebody out there has like the most, the best price, like the biggest long shot ticket on them, I'd love to see it. Because now like we're under plus 10,000 to win the Eastern Conference. And I don't know, like what is possible here?
I was sent something last night. Somebody out there has $5 on them to win the cup, and it pays like just a preposterous amount. But yeah, that's still
sure,
obviously a gross long shot.
It would pay, I don't know, $1,000 maybe, something like that,
I'd
maybe
to,
more.
I'd have to look back into my Twitter feed past all these Zuccarello videos that I was sent. It was only one Zuccarello video. So I can't find it right now. It's not because I'm working on my shoes. But yeah, I mean, it's – what is possible is, you know, what? They make the playoffs, I think, is my ceiling. You get there, and then what? You know, you play Boston? Like, okay. You know, I'll love that. I am not at all like, don't bother, because you're just going to get steamrolled or anything. You know, just get there and see what happens. It's hockey. You know, weirder things have happened. Columbus beat Tampa that one year. So, whatever. But I don't think the way they're built currently, especially in goal, that they are like capable of doing much in the playoffs. I think it's harder to score your way to four wins out of seven once the playoffs get here, and they are absolutely a team that has to score, you know, four goals to win. I've been fumbling around with this number of games that they have won when scoring three or fewer goals. So fewer than four is maybe an easier way to put it. I don't know. Last night was their fourth win like that all year. And three of them have come in the last week.
Dallas,
the Islanders last Thursday.
Right.
And there's one in December in Vegas.
That's a good trend, Ben.
Yeah, it is. Right. Yes.
They're all 3-2, right?
They're all 3-2. One of them was, two of them were overtime. Last night was regulation. But they, you know, they've played 22 games this year out of where, what are they at? 49 games? I looked earlier today.
That's right. 48.
Thank you. 22 of them, they've scored three or fewer, and now they've won four of them. For a while, they had won only one. A week ago, they only won one game where they didn't score four goals.
Well, it's trending up.
It is trending up, but that's tough. You know, you're going to need to be tighter than that probably if you're going to do anything to the playoffs.
Is that still true? Like this idea? Because it always was said. It was always said that in the playoffs it gets harder to score. Why? Officiating, teams just take more liberties and make it harder for you to score. Is that still true?
I'd have to check to see if scoring was, you know, up in any considerable way in the playoffs the last year or two, since the sport has been sort of opening up and scoring is going up and save percentages are going down for goaltenders league-wide. It might make sense that it's scoring is up a bit, but it's just nice to have in your arsenal the ability to do that once in a while. And, you know, maybe, like you've said already three or four times, it's trending in the right direction. Maybe they're figuring something out, and maybe that's right. I just have a hard time seeing a team that needs to score four goals win playoff series.
That's fine. I just want to see them make it.
Yeah,
if they do, like then I'll want them to win. But it's just like it would be an unexpected for the season overall accomplishment. You know, maybe even they would admit to them. I think the plan was just get better. I mean, I'm not saying that my expectations for them should be what theirs were. Mm-hmm. You know, then those were probably higher than mine because they're the team and that's how it usually goes. But man, it would be so great if they made it. And then who knows?
It definitely would feel ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's inarguable. As long as the drought now has been for them, you know, that doesn't change the state of things and what they are doing since Adams took over. And you just can't you know, you usually can't jump spaces ahead of the board, but on the board. But it feels like to me this year, if they were to get there, that it would definitely be ahead of schedule.
They were 16-24-8 after 48 games or through 48 games last year. So what's the best question? We talked a little bit about Luukkonen the other day and how I think I said it's going to come down to him, isn't it? It's going to come down to Luukkonen. Now you have Comrie in this game, and that was a very good development, it would seem, last night for him, of course, but also for them. And we'll see how they want to rotate it like from this point. And Anderson is still here too. So they've got to get the goaltending like any team. I wonder if like the number one pick, their number one pick right now is, I mean, I think it's an interesting question to consider whether they would move it. Because while they have a look at the playoffs for a team that wasn't expected to make it, at least by the odds, and B, we're all gaga over it because it's been forever. You know, do we have a Sabres player who wasn't born the last time they won a round? Not quite. But, I mean, Owen Power's 19, right?
Like, yeah, he's an 02. Yeah.
It's just, wow, it's post-Hashik.
Yeah.
So it's almost that. I mean, because we're all collectively, I would say, as fans, like so eager for it. And, you know, again, the first point, what expectations were this year. They're still like the youngest team in the NHL. You want to be careful not to overdo it here. Like if Kevin Adams and management wanted to really capitalize on this and, okay, well, let's put our first round pick on the table, whether that's Timo Meier or someone else. That isn't necessarily a good idea, but I could easily be talked into it for how many good young players they have for last year's draft. I mean, it's three first-round picks from last year's draft. Devin Levi as well, by the way, coming along. Like, I could be talked into sacrificing one of those guys or this pick or something to make this team even better. The problem, or not the problem, the other side of that coin is, well, what is your ceiling? And, like, that's kind of how you were talking before about how they play and, you know, think about how good Boston is or whatever. But it's still hockey. Like, who knows? They just beat Boston. Like,
right. Anything could happen. Yes, that's right. And even if their goaltending is, you know, giving up three a game like they have most of the year, you could still get in. And, a guy gets hot, a shooter hits the post instead of the corner, whatever. I mean, it's hockey. You're right. I mean,
they're dangerous.
It's very random outcomes, and they are, you know, I think they already look like a team that, I'm not saying like Boston is worried about having to play the Sabres, okay? I don't want to overstate this, but if you're the Bruins, and, you know, we get another month or two down the line here, and the Sabres are looking like a potential matchup, I think you'd rather play the Islanders or somebody else. Like, not a team that has this, the high-end scoring talent this team has, the scoring depth this team has. You know, that's not a matchup you'd I think, pick out of a hat. Like, if you could pick your opponents, I don't think the Sabres, even if they're the lowest-ranking seed, would necessarily be the team that the top seed would pick to play.
Oh, wouldn't you love to have that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've wanted that forever, but. Well, what's your feeling on the pick idea? Like, is it, it'd have to be something you talk about, right? Have to be something you talk about.
I'm open to it. I'd need to refresh. I think the lottery rules have changed. Like, I don't think you can go from, you know, if they stay in this race. Now, that's a big if, right? You know, if they were to give that pick up and plummet and have a shot at moving all the way up to one, then you're giving that up. And, you know, your odds probably aren't great anyway, but still, you're giving something up that you probably wouldn't want to. You might want to consider protecting the pick if it ends up being, like, it's top five protected or something. But I started saying I'm not sure. Like, the way the lottery has been working or is working now, you can't go from the bottom all the way up. You can only move, like, a maximum, I think, of, like, 10 spots. So if you're 12th or 15th, out of the, you know, you can't get all the way to the top anyway.
I think this was true last year.
I think
at
so.
Least.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's changed a few times over the years.
Oh, it definitely has.
But I think that's the way it is now. So it's if you are confident, you know, you're going to go trade for Timo Meier, you should be, you know, you're adding to your team, you should be able to stay in the race. I don't know that you even have to worry about Connor Bedard. Now, you know, you might want to worry about, you know, giving up a top 10 pick or something. I don't know. I think if I get Meier on my team and I sign him, yes, he's 26, but he's also, you know, he's also not 30. He's not 28. Like, he's not a rental. He's a piece that is really nice moving forward. So I think it's worth it, certainly, to consider that pick. Like, I wouldn't want to rule it out just talking right now.
There just aren't that, well, at least this has been true, I think, in other years. You can tell me, or someone else can tell me, if it's not really true this year, because it would probably bounce around. But there are just not many guys like that. That it used to be the case that at the deadline, you know, who were the rentals? It was wingers who are 35 that have 400 goals in the league and fight.
Mark Recchi.
Yeah, just like, right. Well, right. Quintessentially, perhaps. I mean, guys like that, Aginla and Wait. I mean, there were just, that's a long time ago. I apologize. But Posa, guys that were stars, and I feel like the public pressure was sort of tilted against it. It made the Sabres look bad at times because the Sabres were never in those conversations, and, you know, the good teams were out there pushing like that. But it's a long time ago. Over the years, I believe, for different reasons, that has stopped being really the conversation about the deadline. There can be those guys, but now teams in all sports know better about what the real value of a player in a trade is. You know, the value of the young player. Young players are playing way more often, way more minutes and more important roles. And so, and of course, you always have with hockey how few teams are really out of it by now or whatever, a month away from the deadline. There are a few this year, but there might be even like 10 this year. But still, like, you have a lot of seasons where everybody can still justify trying to squeeze in and the extra revenue and how that would look, you know, for their own jobs and everything. So how many guys end up, good players that are really worth it, end up being on the market? It's just a small number. And everybody else is just kind of replacement level, and I'll just go ahead and keep my draft pick. I'll just go ahead and keep my prospects, right?
Yeah, Meier being available is it's unique. A player that age, that talented, that, you know, it seems anyway, if you know, the reporting is like San Jose has no interest it's not time for them to do it. They're not at, hey, let's pay a winger $9 million.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
For the next 7 or 8 years. They're not that close.
So what is the reason? Is it that, or is it money, or is it both? Well, it could be both.
I think it's both, yeah.
If you're far away, they're 14-35, San Jose. Like, there are teams, Chicago, Arizona, San Jose, Anaheim, Columbus, 5 teams that have 38 points or fewer in the league. I mean, the Sabres are at 55, way above that. So those teams go ahead and check it out, see what you want. It's fun to think about, fun to talk about, fun to have back, if you will. This idea, the NHL trade deadline. I'd like to welcome the NHL trade deadline
right,
to our show. It's been a long time. Yes. That Thompson, this season, these guys, 803-0550 if you want to call in. We'll talk some championship weekend, as much as it might pain us to do that. A couple of guests to help us, Eric Eager at 4. Talk with Eric about what's the postscript on the Bills season? Like what would he recommend for them, as well as, you know, these matchups? Alex Gold from Kansas City will join us at 5:30, talking specifically Chiefs and AFC Championship. Paul Hamilton along the way, too, for his thoughts on another Sabres win. The Sabres come home after one more game on the road tomorrow night in Minnesota. Lines are open for you at 803-0550. Bills, too. We've been on the Bills, of course, all week, and how it ended and what to do. Certainly not at all close to those conversations. We'll have them today for sure. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Picked off by Alex Tuck. He leads a rush of three. Now Skinner on the left side. Back for Alex Tuck. He drives it back. Thompson scores! Tic-tac Thompson on that goal, and the Sabres take a 2-0 lead in Winnipeg.
So here is the deal. As the Sabres win again on the road, 10-1-1 against the West on the road. Their next four road games are also against Western teams. Minnesota tomorrow, and then three in California, and that's it for the season, unfortunately, because they have dominated those games.
Can't they go back to California, please? We'll see how California goes. They haven't been there yet.
Right. I texted Travis Yost last night, like, 10-1-1, does anybody do that? And he said it's pretty rare. So he didn't dig into it for me, but, you know, that's fine. He's training for the Boston Marathon, probably.
Yeah, he's got busy stuff going on, yeah.
So 55 points, two behind the Penguins, even games. Three behind
three
the Cap.
Point game last night with Washington.
Yes, three behind the Capitals, who won that game. Three games in hand on them. 3 points up on Florida. What would that have paid before the season? Not that it's over yet, but 3 points up on Florida with two games in hand on Florida. And 4 points on the Islanders, two games in hand also. That's kind of the whole group. Detroit is five back. Not bad.
No, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I mean, you know, like there's different ways that you can measure how into it you are. And like I told you, I think yesterday, when this came up, I was already, you know, we knew we had this Washington-Pittsburgh game, and that's pertinent. Those are the two teams in the wild card spots, and that game was starting an hour or so before the Sabres game. So, okay, you got something to sort of invest in. The night before, I'm watching the Islanders and the Senators, and, like, when you're mad, when you see the scores coming in, that's time. Like, they've got you. You're in. And that's... it's nice to have that back, I think. You know, like a lot of fans probably are not used to paying attention. Like you've said for years, like when the Sabres aren't good, the league it can be hard to pay attention to.
Especially the regular season.
Right.
I've got almost no use for the NHL regular season if the Sabres aren't in some sort of a race. And they are. That is the case this year, which is great. Michael is with us. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I guess what I was just wondering is, I'm not against the idea for trading for Meyer, but is he really a good scheme fit considering the chemistry between, like, our top six forwards we have right now? Like, if you're going to pay, you know, that high of a price for a really good forward, I would say, wouldn't you want to be, like, positive that he's going to be a good fit for your scheme?
Fit for your scheme? Are you talking about fit for the scheme, or are you talking about whether he'll get along with everyone? Because fit for the scheme, I mean, he's young and fast and good size and scores. He scores. That's a fit for hockey. Like that's a valued asset for hockey. If you're worried about, you know, will moving some part of this team, if anyone on the current roster is even involved in a trade like this, San Jose might want all younger guys than even the young guys that you might be interested in moving from this, in this trade. If you're worried about him fitting in, I mean, that's that you're gonna be worried about that whenever you try to add players to your team. So you can do the best you can to find out like what sort of guy he is, but you're never gonna really know. That's sports.
I wonder if, thanks, Michael, if this is a little bit of Eichel scar tissue. Because what? How do fans think about Eichel? Like, great player, but didn't work. And some people will blame everybody else. And some people will, you know, blame his shared. And then some people will blame him. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't foster the right kind of environment or whatever was going on off the ice or this reason or that reason. And so to whatever level of truth there is in all of that, I think Michael might be, I don't have him here to ask him, but, you know, we just had a guy who scored like crazy and the team was terrible always. And then he left and they've pretty much only been at least decent since he left.
Right.
So it's fickle. And guys, are we sure we want to add, was it $10 million? Wasn't that Jack's number? Like, are we sure we want to add a $10 million forward about the same age? Because could it all go back to how it was all those years? I mean, I'd want to at least consider it. I don't know the price. I don't know the guy or how the Sabres feel about his analytics or his personality or anything that could matter. But from what little I do, relatively little I do know about him, you know, it's a yes. If I'm thinking that my group is good enough to get in the playoffs and maybe be competitive there, I mean, that's almost anybody who makes it, this could be hot, this guy. Like, age, how he plays, how he produces. Thompson's fourth in the league in goals. Meyer's top 10 on, like, one of the worst teams in the NHL.
Right.
And he's done that consistently. He's been a goal scorer and a play driver. So I'm open to it.
Yeah, there's no knowing, really, an answer to the caller's question about will he fit in. But without knowing that, and I can't know it, I like this idea a lot. Again, because it fits, you know, and it's hard to find in this sport trades with. It's a very unique situation for a guy this age with that qualifying offer coming and the team he's on just sort of in the spot they're in, not ready to do that. Maybe he's told them, I'm not signing here. I haven't followed it closely. I didn't really think about this guy until Monday. Okay. I mean, it's not like, Bill season's over. Sabres are in a race. Oh, hey, Timo Meier, Pierre LeBrun's talking about Timo Meier. Okay. So I don't know how they got to where they got to with him out in San Jose, but I'm definitely interested in exploring it. Like, if he's going to be moved, I think the Sabres should be in on it again, because he doesn't really. If you're going to give up multiple assets for the future, you're so flush with that stuff already. He had 3 first round picks already last year. And I think people are mostly pretty bullish on those guys. I think Savoy's had maybe a weird year in the Western Hockey League. He's not scoring like a guy his age maybe should be scoring in that league. But nonetheless, like they've got a deep pool. So if you give up a couple pieces of it, it should not upset anything, really. I mean, obviously you'd like to pick the pieces out of your pile that – aren't going to be the best, and there's no knowing that right now if you're going to make a trade like this. So you may give up a guy that turns out to be as good or better than the player you're acquiring, but the player you're acquiring is proven. He's a scorer, and he's young. He fits the build.
We'll get to the phones again right here. It could be Eichel scar tissue. It could be pre-Eichel scar tissue. You just sounded like we would have sounded in 2014 or 15. Like, well, we've got all these picks already. We've got all these young guys. Have you seen Zadorov? We got all these young guys. Like, what do we need more young guys for? What do we need more draft picks for? You know, that didn't work out either.
No.
Bill is next. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah, I just wanted to get you guys' take on the Chychrun or a Meyer trade, trying to use guys like Ryan Johnson or Portillo, guys that we kind of feel aren't going to actually sign here. I just wasn't sure what you think someone like Greer would consider, or if they're too kind of risky to kind of fit their scheme. I know San Jose doesn't have the greatest goalie pool, so I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts, and we're losing the Okposo's $6 million cap hit. So that $9-10 million from Meyer might not be the worst kind of hit.
No, they have room.
I want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, they have room. Even with the pool of guys, young guys they already have that they're going to have to be paying soon, I don't think there's any question that they have room to do this. I don't know what value a player like Johnson, who can become a free agent after he finishes his college season at Minnesota, or Pertillo, who can do the same thing at Michigan, has in a potential trade. These are players who have played their way through their rights belonging to Buffalo, or will have done that by sometime in June. I don't know the exact date, but it's out there. And why, you know, unless one of these players or both of them, like, say, boy, I really want to sign with San Jose. I don't know. Like, if San Jose knows that, they could just wait and sign them in the summer. I just have a hard time. I know the Sabres once traded for Jimmy Vesey's rights, and that was a third-round pick. And, you know,
and he didn't sign.
He didn't sign. He ended up going to the Rangers, eventually wound his way here, and now is back with the Rangers, I think. It's kind of funny, but
can't that guy settle down?
Either way, I just have a hard time envisioning. Is that a sweetener? Is that something that helps get a potential trade over the finish line? Maybe. But I think that's the best that is. It's not, you're not trading a hot goalie prospect. You're trading the rights to a goalie prospect who can go anywhere he wants in a few months.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, we'll take a break. We've got Eric Eager coming up at 4. Paul Hamilton and Alex Gold today as well. Alex, our friend from sports radio in Kansas City. Championship weekend, starting with the NFC Championship Sunday at 3. Lines are open at 803-0550. Talking Sabres so far, this is WGR. Welcome back. We'll get into Sunday's games and look back on the Bills season. What went wrong in the end? Did we miss something? Or just, you know, anything can happen in one game? What kind of attitude will Eric Eager bring to us today? That's coming up just after 4. We have Connor with us now. Hi, Connor.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Connor. Go right ahead.
Excellent. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you guys throughout this Bills season. You guys have done nothing but be absolute professionals. And you educate me on football, and I see the game in a whole new light because of you guys and Chris and Steve and just everyone at WGR. It just makes my day, you know. Not being from the area, but being able to listen to you guys.
How nice. Thank you.
But I wanted to talk about the Sabres, and I'm not a Sabres fan myself, so take what I say with a grain of salt. Unfortunately, I'm a New York Islanders fan. But I'm not sure if Timo Meyer might be the best fit. I feel like Buffalo is very good offensively right now with what they got. I think Ukko Pekalukinen is the guy. I think maybe they could, you know, add some power on the back end. And that's why I think Jacob Chychrun would be a really nice acquisition. Thank you guys again.
All right.
I'll hang up.
Thanks.
Let you guys talk.
Yeah, I'm not closed off to that idea. I like the idea of another young scorer up front that's already, like, what are we hoping? I talked about this. It'll probably come up. When are we having Paul on? 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Today? Yeah. Paul was with me Eastern. After you left yesterday late in the show, and he just said flat out, like, I would trade Quinn in a Meyer trade because what, you know, and I think his logic he can tell you himself, but, you know, you've heard it before. What are you hoping Quinn turns into? You're hoping Quinn turns into Meyer, you know? I mean, it's nice you've got him on a rookie contract and it's cost controlled for a while and it's not $10 million. But, you know, you don't know for sure that Quinn's going to hit that ceiling. He looks nice. I'm bullish on him, but you don't know. So you probably move something that is taking up an important spot right now out, or you could if that's the scenario. I mean, it could be San Jose wants even younger guys than that. Well, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't get much younger than Quinn and Paterka.
No.
But the Chychrun idea, like before we heard about Timo Meyer, Chychrun's been rumored to be getting traded for a year. So like that's And that idea has some appeal, but I like the score idea more. The Sabres are in pretty nice shape back there with their top four right now. And I don't know. You talk about, like, you know, somebody earlier was mentioning, like, messing things up. Like, I don't know that I want to displace any of my top four guys right now, as nice as Chychrun is.
I asked earlier if anybody wants to share with us on Twitter, like, the biggest price anybody got making a futures bet on the Sabres this year. And a few people sent me, including Sal, who had this from a friend, or someone sent this to Sal. Maybe he asked the same question on Extra Point or something. But they're all kind of the same right around opening night, plus 15,000 to win the Stanley Cup, or as they properly call it on these apps, the NHL Championship.
Oh, yes, of course, the NHL Championship. That's what I called it as a boy.
So $10 would win you $1,500. And there's a little bit of an odds boost here, but 150-1 to win the Stanley Cup. And that was October 5th, 6th, 7th. All these tickets are from the same dates. Think of how good they've been. Like, it's been such a nice surprise to some extent or another. Everybody, I think, would have to admit to being impressed, surprised with the season they've had. What is the line now? The same. Yeah, I spoiled right. It for everyone. It's the same. It's the same plus 15,000 right now on MGM. The cash outs are funny. I wonder if the cash outs have improved. People spending $5 on these tickets, but the cash out's like a buck. Anyway, the East is plus 8,000, so 10 wins 800. I got 10 bucks for that. I'm in.
Yeah.
10 to win 800, I'm in. It can't go much worse than my Orlando Magic bet with the Trista loved that one. It's just sitting there. They have a big one tonight, Bulldog. I know you know that. They're playing Miami.
Oh, I'll be all over that. I'll be all over that once it gets to, like, midway through the third quarter, and then whoever's losing, I'll bet on.
Just because it's there. All right.
Seriously, the thing that I have won the most often recently are bets like that.
Okay.
Two NBA games, 6, 8, 10 points, mid third quarter, bang bang, and I've hit on 3, 4, 5 of them for a couple $100.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, winning.
right. Yeah, that's right.
That's the only way to survive out there.
Yep.
Eric Eager, formerly PFF, now Sumer Sports. We'll talk to him about the NFL after the update here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.